Surely they must lament at the end. Purport. It is herein stated that one should strictly follow the scriptures, if one actually wants an auspicious life. The same is explained in Bhagavad Gita 16:23. He who discards scriptural injunctions and acts according to his own whims attains neither perfection, nor happiness, nor the supreme destination. That's the end of the quote. One who does not strictly follow the terms of the Vedic injunctions never attains success in life or happiness. And what to speak of going home, back to Godhead? One Shastric injunction holds that a householder, a Kshatriya, or an administrative head should not refuse to accept a woman if she voluntarily requests to become a wife. Since Katakanya, the daughter of time, was deputed by Narada Muni to offer herself to the Yavana Raja, the king of the Yavanas could not refuse her. All transactions must be performed in light of the Shastric injunctions. The Shastric injunctions are confirmed by great sages like Narada Muni. As stated by Narottam Das Thakur, Sadhu Shastra Guru Vakya Chittete Karya Vakya. One should follow the principles of saintly persons, scriptures, and the spiritual master. In this way, one is sure to attain success in life. Kala Kanya, the daughter of time, presented herself before the king of the Yavanas precisely in terms of Sadhu, Shastra, and Guru. Thus, there was no reason for not accepting her. Ambigatam randasi gyananjana shalaka chakshuru militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manobhishtam stapitam yena bhutala swayam rupa kadamayam didata swapitantakam vancha kopakriya pischa kripa sindhu yeva cha patipanam pavane divaishnu vimpiru namo namaha jai shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda shri advaita gadadhara shri vasari guru bhakta vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, some main points. If one actually wants an auspicious life, you should strictly follow the scriptures. Krishna states very clearly, and Srila Prabhupada repeats the same thing more emphatically. He who discards the scriptural injunctions and acts according to his own whims attains neither perfection nor happiness, nor the supreme destination. That means he's not happy in this life nor in the next life. Interesting, and then Srila Prabhupada is bringing this point up in this particular context, that even though this woman who Narada Muni is saying is unacceptable to him, and we're hearing that she is the most unfortunate, Durbhaga, ill-fated, the daughter of time, Jara. This king was required to accept her because she was deputed by Narada Muni. And following the injunctions of the scriptures, both this injunction that she has to be accepted because she's offering herself to a Kshatriya, and also because, according to the direction of Narada Muni, she's approaching him, and then she has to be accepted. So it doesn't follow logic necessarily that he wants, why would he want to accept her? But regardless, logic is not the factor being considered. Sadhu Shastra Guru Vakya. In all spiritual matters, Srila Prabhupada says earlier in the fourth canto, one must look to these three for direction. So there was no reason for not accepting her, even though she is ill-fated. Any other thoughts that came up for this particular verse? It's pretty straightforward. No? Particularly? So I'm going to read the next verse as well. We'll see. Ato bhajasvamam bhadra bhajantim me dayam kuru etavan parusho dharma dharmo yad artan anukampate. Translation. I am now present before you to serve you. Please accept me and thus show me mercy. It is a gentleman's greatest duty to be compassionate upon a person who is distressed. Purport, Yavana Raja, the king of the Yavanas, could also refuse to accept Kala Kanya, daughter of time, but he considered the request due to the order of Narada Muni. Thus he accepted Kala Kanya in a different way. In other words, the injunctions of Narada Muni, or the path of devotional service, can be accepted by anyone within the three worlds, and certainly by the king of the Yavanas. Lord Chaitanya himself requested everyone to preach the cult of Bhakti Yoga all over the world, in every village and town. Preachers in Krishna consciousness, in the Krishna consciousness movement, have actually experienced that even the Yavanas and Malechas have taken to spiritual life on the strength of Narada Muni's Pancharatrika Vidhi. When mankind follows the disciplic succession, as recommended by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, everyone throughout the world will benefit. The first thing that Srila Prabhupada is pointing out is that he could have refused to accept her, but he considered the request due to the order of Narada Muni. So, although something is undesirable, because the order of the saintly person is there, then there's a different consideration. The consideration in this case for him wasn't accepting her based on his own personal desires. It's the way Srila Prabhupada is explaining it. He's accepting her because in a different way. That's the injunction of spiritual master or the spiritual personality, in this case Narada Muni. And Srila Prabhupada is paralleling that with following the path of devotional service, or choosing to follow the path of devotional service, which sometimes seems to be unpleasant, right? Especially for persons who are Yavanas and Malechas, or in other words, for those who aren't interested in following the Vedic injunctions. Somebody telling you to follow the Vedic injunctions doesn't seem like it's very self-gratifying. But Srila Prabhupada is explaining that Lord Chaitanya requested everyone to preach this cult all over the world, in every town and village, including places where, well, that's everywhere, as we've been hearing. But anyway, just for the sake of discussion, in the way Srila Prabhupada is expressing it, even the Yavanas and Malechas are taking to spiritual life on the strength of Narada Muni's instructions and the path of devotional service that he has presented. So, when mankind follows the disciplic succession, everyone gets the benefit, because everyone can participate and everyone can become an instrument of Narada Muni's program, like the king is doing by accepting, giving shelter to Jara, regardless of whether that was his personal desire or not. Those are some thoughts on that verse. I'd like to just keep reading. I don't know if anybody has any objection to that, but I prefer to just keep reading. If you have points that you think of while you're attentively hearing the purports and verses, please bring them up as we're going along. Text 27, Kala Kanyodita Vacho Nishamya Yavaneshwaraha Chikirshur Deva Guhyamsa Sasmitam Tam Abhashata. Translation, after hearing the statement of Kala Kanya, the daughter of time, the king of the Yavanas began to smile and devise a means for executing his confidential duty on behalf of Providence. He then addressed Kala Kanya as follows. purport in Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila 5. Chaya, Seta Shikara Nritya. Actually, the Supreme Controller is the personality of Godhead, Krishna, and everyone is his servant. Yavana Raja, the king of the Yavanas, was also a servant. Means invalidity or old age. Yavana Raja wanted to serve Krishna by introducing the Kalakanya everywhere. Thus, a sane person by attaining old age will become fearful of death. Foolish people engage in material activities as if they will live forever and enjoy material advancement. But actually, there is enjoy unrestricted sense gratification. For an intelligent person, the appearance of old age is an impetus to spiritual life. People naturally fear impending death. The king of the Yavanas tried to utilize Kalakanya for this purpose. So the king of the Yavanas has been sent a very unpleasant bride, and he's not thinking, like, this is extraordinary. He's not thinking, oh, what a horrible fate has befallen me. Rather, the verse says he began to smile and devise a means for executing his confidential duty on behalf of providence. The way it's expressed here is extraordinary, that he's accepting his the ill-fated wife as a confidential duty on behalf of providence. So a nice point that when things come by Krishna's will, providence means Krishna's will, then the devotee doesn't see it as anything other than an opportunity. How can I serve Krishna through this particular circumstance? The Supreme Controller is Krishna and everyone is his servant. So he, understanding that he's the servant of Krishna, understands this is my existence. Now I have to serve Krishna. Oh, Kalakanya is coming. Now I have to serve Krishna. Something else comes. Now I have to serve Krishna. So there, this way a devotee is always happy if they have this consciousness. It doesn't seem to make any sense from a logical standpoint. If you understand this verse, Chaitanya Charitamrita, verse that Srila Prabhupada is quoting, if one has confidence that that is the fact, if one has actually become sane, you know, to understand that there is a supreme controller and it's not me, and I have to serve him regardless of my desire, then an intelligent person would think, let me just be happy doing the service that I'm being given. It is logical, actually, if you go through it like that. Because if you want to be happy, how are you going to do it? Are you going to control your circumstances and make them stay the way that you like them so that you feel comfortable and, you know, everything works out the way that you want it to work out? That's what he's saying that the foolish scientists are trying to do. But the haven't been able to solve the problems of life at this point, or any point will it ever happen. He didn't say that, but that's the point. So advancing materially means or the idea of advancing materially means we're going to be able to overcome the will of providence at some point by our scientific advancement. That's what it means. We're going to be able to stop things from coming that we don't want to come, like old age. Kala Kanya, Krishna can't send her anymore because we've devised a means to avoid old age. But it's never going to happen. It's never going to happen. Because the will of providence is controlling everything, including the scientists. And Krishna's plan isn't for the scientists to be able to overcome all material discomfort. So it's never going to be accomplished. So foolish means, insane means, Srila Prabhupada is expressing it in the context of the verse, that they're not understanding what the real way to happiness is. They're just looking to change the will of providence as opposed to trying to understand that they're the servants of Krishna, servants of the controller who is by whose will providence things are being manifest. Go ahead, Barbara. Yeah, Srila Prabhupada is saying.
To create fear.
Yeah.
You would utilize that to create fear. So my question is, before she was married, where was old age? There was no old age before she was married, in terms of like history.
It doesn't say that there is a particular time at which this happened. Narada Muni is just narrating the story. So he didn't say, like, you know, halfway through Satya Yuga, Kala Kanya decided to come or something. And it doesn't, at least at this point, I haven't read that. So the event is untimed at this point. Have any other insights into that? Who is? As long as time is manifest, then his daughter is also there. That point is also there. Yes. The hands were moving. I don't know if you want
to. I didn't really need to say anything. I mean, yeah. But I was just, remember, Krishna Smaran probably would make the point that it's, Bhagavad Gita is just like a movie. All the points not going to be mentioned. It's like different episodes, so it's not going to be every small detail and stuff. So that's how I remember to mention that point. Reading forever.
All right. So yeah, he's explaining a principle. That's my understanding. Okay. No other thoughts on that. All right, so let me just... What, somebody have a question? Oh, Dr. Richard, I'm sorry. I didn't see you.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
I was wondering if you could explain the king's mood in relationship to our philosophy of Trinadapi Sunichina, and then in our own circumstance when we have something that's bothering us from one of the kleshas, if we're supposed to... Of course, we try to see Krishna in the situation. The question is whether... I'm just talking about small things, not something so big. Mm-hmm. If we try to adjust, something's bothering us on one side of the room, we try to move to the other, or... I'm just wondering, because I read in the Bhagavatam, and it seems like learned personalities, they don't try to adjust anything. So I'm confused about this. That's why I'm asking.
Well, we can discuss the point. Give their input. Adjusting in that sense, in the sense of a negative connotation, means like without understanding that Krishna is the one who's in control. Doesn't mean like, you know, if there's water on the floor and somebody's going to slip and fall, I don't clean it up because I'm not going to adjust anything. You know, if Krishna wants people to fall and hurt themselves, what can I do? You know, or it's cold in here, so I'm not going to turn on the heat because I guess that's what Krishna wants, is for it to be cold.
everybody should be cold, you know, I should get pneumonia or something like that. I don't think that that's exactly the idea, but I'm not commenting exactly on what your thoughts are. I don't know what they are. I'm just sharing something. So, but adjusting in the sense of for my sense gratification or for my comfort, which has nothing to do with my service to Krishna. That's a material adjustment. Somehow things are not comfortable for me right now, so I'm going to change it. And I don't have any recognition that, you know, it's fruitive, in other words. I have a result in mind, and if somehow that doesn't work out, I'm going to get angry because I'm attached to that thing happening the way that I want it to happen. But let's say I'm in here chanting japa, and it's summertime, you know, and hot and stuffy, and, you know, I turn on the fans and open the windows, and, oh, yes, you know, I can concentrate nicely on my chanting. And someone else goes and, you know, turns off the fans and closes the windows, and I freak out. I'm like, don't you realize it's so hot in here? What's wrong with you? How can we chant? But, you know, and just like this whole thing manifests. It's because it's not really that I was, you know, concerned about my chanting being improved. It's because I was feeling uncomfortable, so I wanted to adjust something. You know, if it was because I want my chanting to improve, then my first thought would be, you know, like you said, Trinada Bisamiche. If I freak out on this devotee, it's not going to help my chanting improve. So the focus would be in a different place. So it all has to do with consciousness. There's nothing wrong with doing things for the body that Krishna has provided for us to utilize. But what's the focus? Am I absorbed? No. Or am I trying out of, you know, I think this will improve my service. And if Krishna doesn't make it happen, then I'll keep going with my Krishna consciousness to my best capacity. Those are two different, very different ways of approaching a problem. So, you can say pure devotees don't adjust anything, but really that's, I mean, from a negative connotation sense that we were discussing, that they don't see Krishna in the picture. That's true. It's not like they make it sick, they just don't care. Or they don't try to keep themselves from getting sick, even. But they're not attached to that thing in itself. They do that as a part of, how can I serve Krishna better? Or else why are they, you know, try to eat food that's suitable for their bodily situation? Just what makes sense, you do it. If Krishna doesn't, you know, go along with the program, then that must not be the way he wants me to serve. That's fine. But anything else on that or something else?
Just the topic. It seems like the perception of time is meant to give rise to fear, like Prabhupada is discussing here, so that that fear will give rise to a strong impetus for steadfast application of spiritual principles for achieving the goal of life. Otherwise, as Krishna also said, jama mritu jarbyadi dukoto shanandarshanam, you know, it's meant to give rise to spiritual impetus. Yeah. So it seems that, and just I'm using this context to the degree we are actually having perception of time, to that degree, we will not be so much concerned about adjusting things on the material platform because time is running out. And I was just thinking, we heard the example, like if a person's breaking out of prison, then, you know, all hell breaks loose, right? The dogs are coming out, the helicopters, all the men are there with the guns. And so it's like a scary situation. And you only have so much time period before they're going to catch you, you know? So then if we really had that perception, I'm trying to break out. Then, you know, suppose I'm breaking out with a devotee, another living entity. Then we like, you know, you step on my toe, and I'm, why you step on my toe? You know, that was really rude of you. But the, you know, the dogs are behind me. You know? It's like, there's not so much time for all those things. Yeah. And then I have to, you know, I'm feeling, oh, my arm is feeling uncomfortable. Let me stretch it out. You know, and oh, it's still feeling uncomfortable. Let me stretch it out some more. Yeah. But there isn't much time for that.
Yeah.
So then it seems that to the degree our hearing helps us to actually perceive the time factor is crushing us, then we won't be caring so much about adjusting things on the material platform. I was appreciating how you were saying, like, it's not like you don't do anything. Something's there. But if you see this just not working out, and you just keep absorbing your energy into that, that means we're not perceiving that we're being crushed by time. And therefore, there is so much time for everything else, except for what we're supposed to actually be doing. So I was just appreciating in this context. Our hearing should give rise to the perception of the evil of birth, death, disease, and old age, or time factor. Then we'll be afraid enough to take our human form of life seriously, to not be absorbing ourselves in material adjustments and all these things unnecessarily.
That's a nice point, yeah. Therefore, I think Srila Prabhupada focuses on it so much when he talks, as he always talks about, you haven't solved the real problems of life, and birth, death, old age, and disease, and to give some that knowledge that helps us see a little bit more clearly what's really important things, and also just the effects of time coming. It says this, we're talking about old age in particular, but like the context has also been kind of just like, you know, well, I guess you can still call it old age, but deterioration of the body or deterioration of the bodily circumstance, material circumstance deteriorating, all of it's due to the effect of time. Although we may not think of it as old age in particular, but that's a nice point. And not that he was looking for, you know, needed knowledge of Janamrita Jirab or something like that, but Srila Prabhupada, you know, if you read the Lamrita, like a lot of times the devotees were like, you know, do this medical thing and try this diet and like so many things, and he's like, no. or sometimes he's like, okay, but then he wouldn't do it, you know, and like, and you can think like, why, you know, if he needs to do that, why doesn't he do it or something, or, you know, why is it, that's also service to Krishna, you know, why doesn't he accept some medical treatment or something, whatever the thing is. But, you know, the prolonging of the body for a few more moments while, you know, in the meantime, distracted from the work that he's doing and everything, that was his perception that I'm appreciating. I'm not sure the Prabhupada, so I'm appreciating, though, from whatever angle I can see, that he understood that my time is short to carry out the work of my spiritual master. These things aren't going to save the situation. Let me keep going with my mission. You know, it wasn't, I don't care. Like we heard the other day, somebody, not we heard, sorry. I was hearing Bhakti Marg Swami he was talking about how Srila Prabhupada, when he was having one health problem, a doctor came and was checking him out to see what was wrong with him, and long story short, told him, you know, you have to get out more, you have to walk more. And the devotees were like, come on, that's not an answer to the question. And Prabhupada was like, no, this man is very wise. You know, I'll start walking. So that was actually Bhakti Maharaj's like inspiration that he was sharing with the devotees, because he does this walking thing across Canada. So it's not that Srila Prabhupada didn't care. That's the point that I'm making. It's not that he didn't care. He went for morning walks from then on as far as he could, I think. And he was walking faster than the devotees, as we were hearing yesterday, I think. You know, so when there is some measure that is practical that can be utilized in Krishna's service, Srila Prabhupada used that so much in Krishna's service. Half of like the recordings of Prabhupada are on morning walks. I mean, not really half, you know, but so much happened on his morning walks. So a transcendentalist, you know, he sees which way is best to serve Krishna. And sometimes it means taking care of the bodily circumstance. If it's not convenient for the service, then it doesn't. But that's the consideration. Let's stop there. Yes, Prabhu.
By these morning walks, he put 5 years onto his life.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Look at that. So, I mean, come on. I mean, if he didn't put 5 years onto his life, where would we be? So somehow he understood that to be wise. Any other thoughts or comments? We're going to end at 8:15 anyway. Yeah, go ahead.
Point I was appreciating that I read, that one devotee said that if Arjuna had enough time to discuss the Bhagavad Gita in the middle of a battlefield, then it makes us so busy that we have no time, you know, to, you know, cultivate spiritual life. So I just was appreciating that point. So,
So in context of what he just said, that's what you were appreciating, that in that context? Yeah. But the time factor was squeezing him pretty hard. He was seeing, my family's going to die, you know, and I'm the one who's going to have to do it. So then he was, is it on? Right. But we're not recognizing it. That's what he was talking about. That we don't, or if we hear the things that are discussed, then we'll understand more clearly, oh, that's actually, I am in a tight situation. So just to wrap up, the topic being discussed is accepting the scriptural injunctions, even if they seem to be inconveniencing us. Because in the ultimate issue, that is the service that Krishna is giving to us. Like we've heard expressed, you know, Vaishnava receives sickness or something like that as his service. Now my body is not working somehow or other. There's some difficulties there. My service is to take care of that so that I can continue with my devotional service and my particular service, whatever that is. In the context of everything else that we just discussed, that it's not like I get absorbed in that and then I don't do any devotional service anymore. But to the extent that that's something that needs to be done for serving Krishna, it needs to be done. And the impact of that isn't just that that one person gets to do his service nicely, but like we're hearing in this verse, the king of the Yavanas, Yavana Raja, accepting Kala Kanya, wasn't just like my services that I take care of her. But rather, Srila Prabhupada says he wanted to introduce her everywhere, where everyone got the benefit of seeing the effect of old age. Everyone got this opportunity, at least the sane person's got this opportunity to get some impetus for spiritual life. So when we accept the service that Krishna gives us in so many different ways, in a service mood, and try to serve in that particular circumstance, so many effects are there that we're not even perceiving. We're not even trying to serve necessarily in that way. But Krishna has made that arrangement that you see, oh, some devotee is sick, but he's still working very hard to maintain his sadhana. And, oh, this person's, you know, job or family circumstance or some financial circumstances not working out nicely, but he's still very focused. He's being responsible with his life, and he's focused on his Krishna consciousness, and people get inspired by these kinds of things. Some people will notice, you know, whatever Krishna's putting that circumstance there for, to inspire certain persons maybe in who have association with them, whatever. So, according to the instructions of Guru Sada Shastra, that's an important point. Not just like an idea of what's good for me to do for myself in this particular circumstance, but when a circumstance comes, taking it according to those understandings that we get from the right sources, and then serving, rather than looking at the thing and saying, oh my God, Kala Kanya, forget it, you know, just see how to serve Krishna. Those are my thoughts. It's past 8:15, so I'll stop. Thank you all very much for listening and participating. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.